Well, Newfoundland and Labrador is waking up to a Liberal minority government. The Liberals took 20 seats, the PCs with 15, the NDP with 3, and 2 independents will also be taking their seats. There's a recount automatic coming in Labrador West, as we know. Mountain Political Science, Amanda Bittner joins me live in studio this morning. Good morning, Amanda.
Hi, buddy.
It was a painful campaign, but a really exciting election night as the results rolled in. What jumps off the page for you in the results?
There were a few seats that were surprisingly wins and losses, so a few incumbents lost their seats, a few Liberals lost their seats. I mean, the main Liberals were expecting to maintain their seats, people like Andrew Parsons, people like Tom Osborne, they maintained their seats. But, you know, 3 seats for the NDP, that's more than I would have expected. 2 independents, that's maybe more than I would have expected too. I think that everybody knows that Paul Lane and Eddie Joyce are popular in their ridings, but given the recent events in the House, I would have thought that there was some possibility that Joyce would lose his seat. But yeah, just wow.
In Humber Bay of Islands, when Eddie said he was maltreated by the Premier and the whole investigation and the harassment and bullying, first thing that happened was the Liberal executive for the District Association resigned. Yeah. That's how popular Eddie Joyce
They're
is.
They're behind him, absolutely. And I mean, if you think about what he was actually sort of held accountable for in terms of his behavior in the House, it was trying to curry favor for his friends. His friends are in that district, so he is definitely looking out for his constituents, and constituency work matters.
Mr. Crosby has called this constitutionally challenging or a crisis. Minority governments can work. It's not simple. How do you think this one is going to shake out? Crosby would like to see us go back to the polls. Mr. Ball in his speech was much more looking for collaboration or partnership. There might be a little bit more balance of power, not in the independents, but in the hands of the NDP, which is unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's anyone's guess at this point as to how things are going to actually work in the House, just because these parties aren't used to doing that kind of, you know, collaborative work. Minority governments exist around the world as a normal thing, and parties have to work together, either formally or informally, to kind of trade favors and come to agreement on things in order to get their budgets passed and their policies passed. So, you know, in theory, having parties forced to work together is a really good thing for policy, because it means that we're having more conversation. It means that we're having more negotiation, more debate, more compromise, and that could lead to better policy.
Could it also lead to pork barrel politics, which is what we absolutely do not need when we consider deficit and debt?
Well, we already have pork barrel politics, right? That's been going on forever.
There's only one stripe call in the pork barrel. Right? And I think that's the difference here, because you'll have backbenchers all of a sudden to be kept in line, maybe demands in their nook and cranny of the province, whoever the collaborative party is, the NDP or independents. That bit of pork is what's going to be required to get a budget passed, which is one of the fatal flaws of not debating and passing a budget before we went to the polls.
Well, and I mean, that's a huge problem, and that's a whole other conversation that we can have another day. But yeah, definitely this does give some room for backbenchers to potentially have more of a role, which is good, right? It gives a space for opposition members to have more of a role, which is really good, because a healthy democracy is defined by a healthy opposition, right? So up until now, it's not been so healthy, right? It's been mostly journalists, people like you, who are holding government to account. And while we need you, and while that's important, that's not enough. So this has the potential to really hold government to account in a better way, in a more serious way than what we've seen in the past in Newfoundland and Labrador politics.
Opposition is key to a healthy democracy. So is voter engagement.
Yep.
And last night, the worry was we weren't going to get anywhere near 50%.
Yep.
But it turns out that was not accurate going in. I think the number that we have to work with this morning is 60.1. What do you make of that?
I think that's great.
Me too.
I mean, I did not expect turnout to go up from last time around. Last election, 2015, was a foregone conclusion before the writ was dropped, right? I think this time folks thought it was too, because of the way that the government, you know, decided to call the election within 24 hours of dropping a budget. They obviously thought things were in their favor and went for it. So I think there were a lot of folks that thought they had it in the bag. And so obviously they didn't. Turnout went up, and that's great.
Yeah, we have it at about 60.1 last time in 2015. Just over 200,000 people voted, which was 55.3. So I'm encouraged by that number in and of itself. Another number and collection of numbers that gets bandied about are the polls. I don't know how influential they are. What do you think?
There were a few polls that came out in this election, which is surprising considering that, you know, we're a small province, that the election campaign period was so short, like 3.5 weeks or whatever, including the Easter break. But I saw at least 5 polls out there, which is kind of surprising. And they were all kind of up and around. The more recent ones looked like it was going to be a PC majority. Which was possible, right? Obviously, they did a lot better than a lot of folks expected, given the start of the campaign and given that they didn't have a full slate of candidates. But I think voters didn't really know what they were going to do until they walked into the polling booth. There were a lot of voters who voted at the moment as opposed to knowing in advance what they were going to do.
Yeah, and some of the polls we saw undecided as high as 39%.
Yep.
And then we had a form poll, data dump, basically at the 11th hour, which people didn't even have a chance to wrap their mind around. From this point forward, if you were giving some advice as a political scientist and a savvy political watcher, what's the first order of business here beyond trying to get a budget passed? Because I just don't think, you know, there's a bunch of issues regarding the budget. For starters, even construction season. Mm-hmm. Until there's some of these shared cost projects, they can't proceed until a budget.
Yeah.
If you're going to give some advice to the 40 members, how do they proceed?
Well, my first piece of advice is to Dwight Ball is to think carefully about cabinet formation, right? There were some things that went on in the last House that were problematic. He can fix a lot of those things right now. And so the decisions he makes right now are going to give a signal to not only voters, but also other MHAs about what he wants this legislature to look like, how he wants it to work. And so that's going to be key. I think that reaching out to the other parties to talk about shared goals and shared values, because they do share a lot of goals and a lot of values. Everybody here wants this province to do better, and they can work together to find a way to make that happen. I think that if he does what Crosby's been doing so far, which is kind of, you know, throwing gas on the, I'm really bad at metaphors, throwing gas on the flames or whatever it is, then that's not going to be a way forward. That's going to be a way to just have massive blocks and will head us to the polls again as things just don't pass and as budgets don't pass, the government will fall. So they've got to work with others. And I think that he can do that.
Minority governments can work and do work all over the world. Do you think it'll work here?
I think that it could. I mean, the one thing that I hear from everybody all the time is that Dwight Ball is such a nice guy. So that should get him far in terms of cooperating with others. But I think that that can only be done in a respectful way where we acknowledge the incredible talent that some of these MHAs have for not just politics, but just for thinking and for working with people and for caring about policies. So there's lots of potential here, and it'll be definitely something to watch. It's a historic first, yeah.
Mr. Ball is indeed a nice guy, but maybe not very definitive in his decision-making, which at this moment in time might suit him very well versus how it suited him at the helm of a majority government.
Well, and the other thing to think about, too, is that there's no obvious solution to the very vast number of problems that we have in our province right now. So it's actually beneficial to the Liberal government right now to be able to say, it's not all our fault. We are working with others. These situations are complicated, complex. We have to work with others. And so 4 or 5 years from now, the whatever happens, and bad stuff's going to happen, of course, can't just be pinned on them at that point, that it is about collaboration. So it does benefit the government to have, you know, those collaborations to work with others to kind of get policymaking done.
Snap election call in an effort to have a majority government backfired for them, but probably works out for us.
I think absolutely that's true. The stronger the opposition, the stronger the democracy. So we're winning.
Great to have you in this morning, Amanda.
Thank you.
As MUN political scientist Amanda Bittner.